ministry of Nelson Ihiagu. Be stirred as you listen.
Okay, so the topic for today, this month, we're going to be looking at the believer's love walk. So every teaching we'll be doing this month will be geared towards your love walk as a believer. All right, because there are important things that Jesus had to do. And I think for a believer, all right, permit me to put it this way, your love walk comes before your love life. Are you listening to me? Your love walk, you missed a good place to say, you are deep, Pastor, so I'll say it again. Permit me to put it this way, your love walk comes before your love life. Thank you very much, I know. So, your love walk is supposed to come before your love life because as believers, our lives are premised on revelation. Our lives are premised on revelation. And this is very important. Now, you know, I thought about how to do the teaching this month. You know, we're going to be talking about a couple of things that are very important. They will touch marriage. They will touch love. But we're going to be talking about them from scripture. And the reason we're going to be talking about them from scripture also is because, first of all, scripture is more sure than anybody's experience. Amen. That's number one. And number two, another reason we're going to be looking at it from scripture is so that it can cut across everybody. Please, are you listening to me? Yeah. It can cut across everybody. But there are foundational things that we must lay. Next week's teaching is going to be a building block upon what I'm going to be sharing today. All right. So, but the overall thing for the month is believer's love walk. Today, I'm going to be sharing about this loving God. Say, this loving God.
This loving God.
The man of God in the flyer always distracts me. He looks good. Praise God. Don't you agree?
Yes.
If you don't disagree, just wave at me. Protocol, where are you? All right. So I'm going to start by saying these things. You see, some things in your life need consistent exposure. They need consistent exposure. Let me put it this way. You don't get better at anything by just hitting it once. Do you agree with me? You don't get better at anything by just hitting it once. You get better at everything you do consistently. Do you get me? You get better at everything you do consistently. So also, you see, the Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit lusts against the flesh. The Bible says, whosoever you submit yourself to him you are a slave. Now, one thing that we need to know when it comes to God's word also is, you know, the Bible says if your strength fails in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Small, little. Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation, i.e., if you pray not. He's not saying as a prayer point, I will not enter into temptation. I will not enter into temptation. That's not the prayer point. He's basically saying if you pray, you will miss temptation. Or when you pray, you will have strength enough to stand in the day of temptation to say no. Do you get what I'm saying? So it means that temptation or even living for Jesus is a game of strength. If you feed the spirit will be stronger. If you feed the flesh will be stronger. Everybody help me welcome Daniel. Welcome Daniel. He came to visit us from the Maple country as Canada. You need to travel more. Amen. So that some of you just know Lagos and Birmingham. Nowhere else. Anyways, so it means that temptation can be a game of strength. It can be a game of strength. And the Bible uses words like this. It said, if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, you will reap what? Eternal life. So Paul is using words that lean towards investment. Whatever you invest in is what you will reap from. So also our flesh, you know, during our all-night prayer meeting, how many of you were there overturned? Right? Some prayed, some regretted coming. But all in all, Jesus is glorified. So we prayed all night. And then, you know, in praying like that, you know, I started and I made an analogy. It started from our other midweek service. I said, you see, some people, don't know this thing. So we watch movies, for example. If you invest in the flesh for 8 hours, don't think an investment in the spirit for 30 minutes will be enough. So the flesh has its strength. The spirit has its strength. If you, I'm sure this has happened to some of you that have prayer life, right? You've probably prayed. And but this is TC, where I pray in church, right? With a shock grace, normal. Are you getting me now? So this has happened to some of you where you hit your prayer time, but it's like the prayer just started. It's not enough. Anybody that is intelligent in the spirit, of course, people now say, why, when you are praying long, what exactly are you praying about? God knows all you need. Just, if once your knees, you know, my dad watched this sermon. So, Daddy, I still love you, okay? My dad told me one time, no, it's my mom. She said, if your knees just, I can't remember who, shout to one of the two of them, but both of them were talking to me. They said, if your knees hit the ground, you just focus 10 minutes. You talk to the Lord, he will answer you. And they are not wrong, but there is more in prayer than asking for things.
Yes, sir.
I want to be carried and be reaching there. Yeah. I don't know how to say that in Yoruba. Anyways. But what I'm trying to say is this. There are things in our lives that will only give way by consistent exposure to the influence of God's Spirit. Consistent. We've lived long enough in the flesh. Come on, are you listening to me? We've lived long enough in the flesh, so we need a consistent investment in the spirit for those things to break off us most times. You know, I had a friend of mine say this many years ago, and it's so profound. He said it this way. He said, when we are, spiritual growth is on learning death and learning life. Are you listening to me? Spiritual growth is on learning death and learning life. So, for example, you don't expect someone who just got saved, you know, they always expect that once we are dating, after 2 months, you move in with me, you know, we start, is that guilty conscience? You move in with me, we start living together and doing marital things. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So that is the expectation, usually. But when the person then gets saved, the person now has to learn that in this kingdom we belong to, there's a way we do things, and that's not it. Someone who just got saved knows that if you offend me, you can't go free. Whatever comes to you, you deserve it. But in the kingdom, the person now begins to learn that there is something more than your appetite for vengeance. I could go on and on, but the long story short is this. Consistent exposure to God's word is doing something to you. You see, we invest in almost everything that matters to us except our walk with God. And then you don't think that you will invest in every other thing and get accurate results. But in the word of God, you only invest once or twice a week and still get the same kinds of results. It's not true. You won't have that. So, you see, I read something and I was talking to Tofumi about it. Can I come down? I think it was a report that was talking about the comparison between the healing revivals. That's the revivals that have Jaco. How am I forgetting their names? Jaco, Gordon Lindsay. Yes, John G. Lake. You know, all those guys. Right? Healing lived through that, this thing. These are the guys that they came out from them, you know, and the healing revivals. They said the people who actually stayed in faith, right? The people who stayed, or they compared the healing revival, people who got saved during the healing revivals and people who got saved during the reformations. They said people who actually stayed in faith were people, or more people that stayed in faith were the people that were saved during the reformations than people who got saved during the healing revivals. Why? Because during the healing revivals, a truth became the truth. Come on, do you get me? A truth became the truth. And because that was the case, many people camped around healing. Few people knew the healer. But during the reformations, it was proper doctrinal conversations. Is man saved by works or saved by grace? They were having doctrinal conversations, questions that had to do with salvation and had to do with God. And because more of the conversation was centered around things like this, people didn't just have zeal, they had depth. They had depth. So, my entire point of saying that, or I said all that to say this, is, you see, the word of God is the crux of our gathering. Miracles are great, but the word of God is the word of God that changes a man. It is the word of God that makes a man grow. When Paul, in the latter part of Acts, he didn't say, I commend you to anything. He said, I commend you to God, come on, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those which are what? Sanctified. It is the word that builds a man up. It is the word that assures that man in an inheritance among those which are sanctified. James. James basically speaks about people being not. He said, desire the sincere milk of God so that you may grow thereby. Then lay aside every superfluity of naughtiness. There's a naughtiness the word used to flog out. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the word that handles it. But the reason I'm saying all this is simply this. Listen, good sermons can lead to a sort of spiritual satisfaction. It means that you are hearing good sermons because we have good. Are they preaching now? Are they?
Yes, sir.
Just can I get a witness? Now? Thank you. Thank you very much. Good sermons can lead to a sort of spiritual satisfaction. I know the word. I'm worded. So you check. Your knowledge bank is on an 8. Your doing is on a 2. You're not growing. Come on. Because the truth is, the point of theology is doxology. The point of knowledge is worship. We know so we can do. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
We know so we can do. The point of, you know, and people like that, right? Of course, the context of this is salvation, but I think it can apply here. The context of this is salvation. He said, having a form of godliness. The context is salvation, of course. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The word there is reprobate, right? It's adokimos. So when you see the way the word is consistently used, it speaks about people who know the truth, but don't act it out or hold it as the truth. Those are the kind of people that the Bible explains in the book of Romans when he said they are holding the truth in unrighteousness. Please, are you here? So, we know this is the truth, but we don't accept it as the truth. It's the same thing we do when we know God's word, but don't act on God's word. So, like I said, good sermons can lead to a sort of spiritual satisfaction. Where is your application? Where is your application? So I'm talking to members of TEC now. We've done membership classes. Some of you passed. Glory to God.
Amen.
Those that did not pass, we will see in the next batch. Some of you passed, all right? We've done membership classes. We've had sermons, the local church. Which other sermons have we had? Why we gather? I don't know. Let's do series. The local church. What else?
Joy.
Very important series. What else? Can I tell you guys something? Let me give you guys a gist. The second Sunday of joy. No, I taught joy the first Sunday. Before the second Sunday of joy, I lost my job.
Glory to God.
Yes. So I said, Nelson, You teach joy. You must practice this joy. I know a pastor who, this means, leave suit. Suit used to hide many things. Many scars, bruises, and burdens. I know someone who, he lost his dad the day before. The next Sunday was teaching joy. He was teaching joy. Yes. So when I hear some people talk about pastoring, I'm like, please, I wish you got caught. Let me support you. Anyways. Joy, what else? Sketches and fullness. You know, sketches and fullness. Sketches and fullness like 7 parts. Or like 8. And we didn't even finish. Now, when you look at all those sermons we've done, you know the curriculum. Where is it in your today? Because there's no point in heaping knowledge if you're not going to apply. There's no point. There's no point. The entire reason we're having sermons like this, because can I even tell you something? Somebody said any theology that is making you worse is horrible theology. I remember somebody came to meet a preacher and was just talking, and the man said, I preferred you when you were ignorant. You were more humble. Because this is the thing. We have a lot of people who handle theology like a court girl. A court girl is a small club you used to whack people over the head. You handle theology. I'm sure you saw that in my tweet, right? You handle theology like a court girl. Now, this thing that is supposed to be our tool of worship. Come on. This thing that's supposed to be our tool of worship is now used as a weapon of war. Or this thing that is supposed to be our tool of worship is little esteemed. Don't think you will not read. Don't think you will hate the word and love worshiping God. Because there are a lot of people who don't like teaching meetings, but you like worship services. Can I tell you the truth? You're not worshiping God. You like your emotions. You like the feels you get from those meetings. It's the feels. Every tongue. Ah, in heaven. You're like, if I had 1,000 tongues, it will never be enough. Hey. And, you know, I've had people like that. People sing some songs that are not so correct. I'm like, what does this song mean? They're not saying, you see, it, as far as it's to God, God sees the heart. No. We need to understand that, like I've said many times, hey, God, you serve how you like, you are its God. You must serve God the way God wants to be served. You only serve God on his terms, not on yours. The fact that it feels good does not mean it is correct. If it feels good and is wrong, it must be jettisoned. There are some songs I painfully had to let go because I like them. Some of them I could change the lyrics. Even that's a problem because I've changed lyrics of some songs. I suppose like, how would the songwriter feel? I respect him. And I honor the songwriter, but I have more honor to God's word. And because I like the song, that's why I'm not just singing the song altogether, I'm changing the lyrics. Listen, what I'm trying to say is in your life, you see, and when it's time to test the depth of your conviction, it will not come when all things are bright and beautiful. When things are hard, see, have you had to forgive somebody with pain? Uh-huh. There is nothing I can't forgive. I know. I've had some tests. I'm like, don't worry. There's nothing I can't forgive. Because the test of God, of your love with God. Now, it does not mean we'll be guys who just saying that. For example, there's a difference between a sin and a crime. If you commit a crime against me, man of God, please sit there. If you commit a crime against me, I will forgive you, then hand you over to the law. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
For example, anyways, let me not give examples. Somebody went to prison recently, life imprisonment, for something he did. I said, Kirikiri is about to see the move of God. Praise. Kirikiri is a maximum security prison in my country. Amen. That devil is a liar. There's nothing I can't forgive because I've had. Can I even tell you another one? There's nothing the Lord will ask me to give, I won't give. He may pay me, but we'll give it. I know. I've had to give one money came to my hand one day. As it came to my hand, I wanted to remove the tithe. Now, I don't tithe because a devourer will devour me. I tithe because I love him. If those in the Old Testament gave 10, the least I should give is 10. So, as I removed that 10, I began to feel virtue. I don't know if you're getting me. I began to feel virtue. I felt dizzy. I had to sit. I said, get me a cup of water. Shanice, shall I give this thing? I felt it. But then a thought now came. What do you have that was not given? What do you have that was... Convictions are not also tested in hard times, though. They are tested in good times. I've told you that some of you don't know the vices you have because you are broke. Yeah. Or you are not rich enough. When some kind of money enter your account, temptation you didn't know was around you, you begin to see it. I began to explain verses like, you know, there's something I explained, right? I said, it's love month, so I can talk about stuff like this. And I'm onto, because I felt, I remember the last time I prayed, I didn't hit the nail on the head. Like I asked the last time, class is not supposed to be a factor when choosing a spouse, right? Yeah. But is it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. And I'll tell you how it is. You that has done a master's, chances are you will have to marry somebody that at least has a BSc and a leveler. That master's must be leveled with something. Do you get? You will, my wife now, she married me for my grades. She's not joking, she knows. She knows. No, she too knows. She too knows. I remember one time I was in the cafeteria in school and I saw my wife's future. I said, eh? I'm not even joking. I'm not joking. I said, eh? I will be there. Inshallah, I will be there. I saw it. I said, I'll be there. Anyways, it's not supposed to be a factor. But when you see, I want to call a name, but... Just for example, if you see a younger woman, for example, marry an older man called Ned. Allegedly, right? There's a leveler. Do you get what I'm saying? Say leveler, say leveler. Say leveler. Now, it's not supposed to be, but there is. There is. So imagine you, that person, when he was still hustling, he could only afford, you know, maybe a BM. W, really nice car, get a two-bedroom apartment. Then he finds one fine girl. And because the truth is, usually, there are some girls you don't go close to. For your honor's sake. I don't know if you are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For your honor's sake. Before they insult you, your grandfather, and your father. So you just pick your this thing. And can I tell you, it's not a conscious thing. Is subconscious. So you get that thing. And then, you know, there was a wedding my wife, I think, I just finished preaching in London. So a wedding was happening that was all over the internet. My wife, and the daughter is, the girl is related to a, he has weight. He has weight. Jiget, I need to get him saved and be in this church. So she, the guy, you know, my wife was like, ah. And the guy's a celebrity. So she said, I hope their marriage lasts. I said, are you joking? It will last. It will last. Anyways, so you now see those two people, right? The guy sees this girl. He loves the girl. You know, he said, okay. Oh. Then he meets her. There were other girls he didn't bother to go close to. So this guy said, let's get married. They got married. The guy now began to scale up. All of a sudden, bought a house, maybe got one dangerous job, cleared his mortgage in 6 months. He got that. He got another. He gets bored with cars. You get. He does all those things. So you know what? Money is now piling in his account. The girls he didn't see before, he will now begin to say, if I had met you before I met my wife, I would have married you. One guy wanted to toast one of my daughters one day. She may be here or not, I don't know. The guy entered the elevator with her and told her, this was the checking point. He told her his name. She didn't know because she doesn't know current affairs. So she didn't know him. But by the time she told somebody, one of my other boys, he said, eh? He said, that's his name. The guy is basically one of the ministers for something, something. He said, this is my hotel. That was it. Your spec will go out the window. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes,
it's not supposed to be, but it is. You see, when you begin to love the Lord and it begins to affect your source of income, you will now know if you really love Him. So like I said, it's not just known in the times of hardness, it's also known in times of comfort. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, what I'm trying to say, the point of this introduction is simply this. Ladies and gentlemen, your walk with the Lord, all the good sermons we've had, where is it in your heart? Where is it in your heart? Some of you are saying you don't hear God. The times when you want to do something and you hear a line I said from a sermon, it's playing in your head. God was speaking. Yes. I remember I wanted to date one fine girl, very sweet girl. You know, she was of Zambian descent. I will never forget. So I wanted to date this girl. I'm not going to look here. I wanted to date this girl. As in, she's an 11. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Out of 10. But my wife is a 12. Praise God. I'm saying that for two reasons. I'm saying she's a 12 for two reasons. One, because she is. Two, all of you will go home. I'll go home with her. So she's a 12. The girl was an 11. Sweet girl. I saw this girl, but my heart, the Lord did not let me rest. I couldn't sleep. I went home. Every sermon I listened to, they'll say, the will of God! I said, you know when I say, Lord, with due respect, you are shouting and you are petty. Just, I get you, but please, stop shouting. I've heard you. It's okay. Those things, the entire point is, where is the application in your heart? Let your Christianity not be traditional to you. C.S. Lewis compared Christianity to the sun. He said, it is not just that I see it, by it I see every other thing. Yeah. It's not just enough to be a Christian, you must have a Christian worldview. You must have a Christian, and hey God, I'm on a road this morning. Because there's another thing in my heart. What it means to have a Christian worldview is also this. You see, when many people begin to attack the church online, shut up. Because like Judas, they are not saying it because they love the poor. Okay. You say things like, instead of them to be feeding the poor, how many poor do you and your family feed? You know, when I have conversations with people that are pro-choice, right? And then they say things like, what then is the church doing for babies that have been born? The church is the one that did orphanage, soup kitchen, among many other things that care for the living. What John the dog say? Stop the killing of twins. You know, back home, where I is there anybody that is not African here? No, great. I've heard a lot of, you are not African.
Caribbean.
Okay, you are Caribbean. My brother, you are my neighbor, leave that to me. People say things like, rather than building churches, why don't we build factory? Who is stopping you? Everybody has their call. If you build it, we will support you. People say things like, Christianity is the one that brought the, why don't we just go for and support our indigenous African traditional religion? You know, I like Yoruba culture. Do you know what an oriki is? It's a special panegyric they used to hail each family. I heard a girl say that her family's oriki, they behead people. It's in the oriki. That's not the worst part. The worst part is she said that they didn't spare anybody, not even their in-laws. It's in the oriki. Many of us are, the oriki of our family we probably heard is, your grandmother is a fine woman. This family have, there's a mystery called Abobaku. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. When a king dies, they bury him with people. But people leave that thing and say things like, you know, our African traditional religion, it was not great though. Tim Holland wrote a book called Dominion. He basically spoke about how Christianity is the reason the Western world is as developed as it is. So the thing is this, better than right or wrong is truth. Because many times it may be legit. There are many arguments online I don't put my mouth on because both sides are wrong. Or because when you look at the argument, even though this person is correct, the person is pushing right with the wrong motive. Yeah. Motives matter to God. Yeah. This loving God. The entire point of this sermon is this. Consistently in scriptures, what we see is that we see that the apostles paint God. So Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 14, he tells them about order in the use of the gifts. Why? Because our God is not the author of confusion. He tells us to love because God does what? Loves. God loves. So the entire point of this sermon is simply this. Well, we want to paint who the Father is. And why is this important? This is important because a God you don't know, you can't adequately serve. A God you don't know, you can't adequately serve. Superstitions will let you serve your fears thinking it's God. While ignorance will get you bitter at God for what he didn't promise. Superstitions will let you serve your fears thinking that's God. Ignorance will have you bitter at God for the things he didn't promise. I've heard many people say, get angry at God. And Lord, you promised me this. Did he though? And most times it's wrong teaching that spoils those kinds of things. Wrong teachings. Wrong teachings, therefore wrong expectations. The Lord said, if you join this church in 3 months, if your life doesn't change, you can leave the faith. Ah. The change of your life. First of all, material things mean nothing to God. That's why the argument Jesus was poor is stupid. Because Jesus was neither rich nor poor. He had his needs met whenever he wanted.
Yes.
He mattered God's plan. His will was to do the will of the Father. So whatever he needed to do the will of the Father was provided. So wealth means nothing to a spirit. God is a spirit. Are you aware it's because we are falling, gold matters to us? Now, that's why we're teaching this. Listen, creating a God in your image or being taught that God is worse than serving God in ignorance. If you create a God, you know, A.W. Tozer wrote a book called Knowledge of the Holy. If you don't adequately know God, you will serve a figment of your imagination. You will serve, you see, a lot of people like a God who just affirms them. You know, a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people say God is a she. Call God by his preferred pronoun now. Yes, now. He said he's a he. Every time he's replied to as a he. Unto you a son. Well, he identifies. You call everybody by their preferred pronoun except God. Why are you like this? He's a he. Identify him as he. But they say God is a she, our eternal mother. You are serving a demon. That's not the God of the Bible. Doc, please reduce it a bit. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of the Bible. And a lot of people have been taught a God that offends them and them solely. And because they have been taught a God that offends them, They are serving ignorantly. They are serving their desires rather than serving God. Every time when I try to correct that, the goal of prayer is not things. The goal of prayer is fellowship with God. If we don't get it right, the tool that is supposed to make us malleable before God will harden us against God. Will harden us against God. Till he returns or calls me home. Here in the love of Christ I stand. Anyways, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Gigi, are you ready to run with me? By running with the speed of light. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Are you there? He said, he who does not love does not know God, for God is what? Love. Gigi, give me 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. Anybody that does not know God cannot walk in love. Because God, he's not trying to love. Love is who he is. And what this means is, you see, we can't define God's attributes from our lens. We must always define God's attribute from his own lens. If God is love, what he says love is what love is. Not what we feel it is. Come on, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Gigi, 1 Corinthians 3, 13. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13. Okay. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
It says love. This is talking about God now. Because God is love, and Paul talks about the characteristics of love, we can attribute this to God, and I'll run through this very fast. Love suffers long and is what?
Kind.
Let me ask you a question. How do you know love is kind, especially when it links to God? Simple. The Bible says in 2 Peter, it says, not taking or knowing the long suffering of God, the patience of God. That God gave you conviction after conviction after conviction until you laid down in obedience and accepted his gospel. That is long suffering. And is what? Kind. What that means is God gave conviction after conviction but let you choose. He didn't force you. He let you choose. Love does not envy. A lot of people mix this verse with when the Bible says the Lord is jealous. Jealous is his name. If you say the Lord does not envy, how can you say God is jealous? Because you can't love and not be jealous. What this simply means is love is not envious. The jealousy in God's context is a protective jealousy. But the envy in this point is, if David is envious of me, I don't know if you are getting that. If David is envious of me, David is envious I have this watch and he doesn't. So he wants this word for himself. But when God is jealous of us, he's not self-seeking. Yeah. It's for our good. Yeah. It's for our good. He said love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love is devoid of vain pride. Next verse. Love does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. And that's why the Bible will tell us God is good and in him is no variableness, nor what? Shadow of turning. Next verse. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Listen, if you have a prayer life, one thing you will notice is as you keep on praying, if there's something that is not correct in your life, God will keep hammering on that thing. It's like that prayer time will not move forward until that thing is dealt with. Can I tell you something? See, God is holy. And he has called us as such too. Sin, the grace of God has covered for us and made us above sin. Sin is a big deal that Jesus had to die for it. But God did not just tell us, don't do it. He worked in us an engineering to live above it. But rejoices in truth. God wants us to stand that way. Next verse. He said, bears all things. Has God borne all things concerning you?
Yes,
believes all things. Has God believed the best of you?
Hopes
all things. Has God hoped well for you even when you misbehaved?
Yes,
endures all things. Next verse. Love never fails. He said whether there are prophecies, they will fail. It means that they will stop. Whether there are tongues, they will stop. Whether there is knowledge, it will what? vanish away. Of course, this verse, the context of this, it will vanish away, simply means when it will vanish away, if you read down 9:10, is at the coming of Jesus. That's when it will vanish away. But look at what he says. He said, love never fails. All these we see, it means that stronger than prophecy, tongues, visions, knowledge, the workings of the Spirit is the love of God.
Yes, sir.
Come on, are you listening to me?
Yes,
sir. It's the love of God. How do we know God loves us? John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes in God should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. This verse, the word so loved does not mean quantity. It means manner. Give me in NLT. This is even NKJV. Give me in NLT. Look at this. NLT put it well. It says, for this is how God loved the world. Because the word so is huto, meaning in this manner. This is how God loved the world. How did he love the world? Or how did he show his love for the world? He did what? He gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. This is how he loved the world. This is how God. So when he says God so loved, it's not quantity. God loves us so much, but this verse is not talking about the quantity. This verse is talking about how he showed that love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says the same thing. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet what? Sinners. Go back to KJV for me. Go back to KJV for me, Gigi. It said, but God demonstrates his, KJV, I like the way KJV puts it. It said, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ did what? Die. So, KJV says commended. So, how was the love of God commended towards us? How was the love of God shown to us in his what? Let me tell you why this is powerful. This is powerful because you know that the greatest show of God's love is not when there's money in your account. The greatest show of God's love is not when you feel it or not. The greatest, how you know God loves you is not goosebumps. Are you here? How you know God loves you is not when all things are working out well. How you know God loves you is not when, what's the word now? How you know God loves you is not when, you know, your bank account is loaded, people are not annoying you, therefore I know God loves me. No! If Jesus died on that cross, he loves me. He loves me. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10 verse 45, it said that Jesus basically died for the sin of many. 1 John 2:2. Give me 1 John 2:2, Gigi. 1 John 2:2. Let's read this like a mass choir together. 1 John 2:2. I need to run. 1 John 2:2. Are you ready, guys?
Yes, sir.
Come on, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's read this like a mass choir. 1, 2, go.
And he is the propitiation
for us. No. You are not reading this thing with life. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Clear your throat. Are you ready? Yes, read this for me like a mass choir. 1, 2, go.
And he is the propitiation.
Uh-huh.
And not for us only,
uh-huh.
But also for the sins of the whole world.
The word propitiation means worthy exchange. He was the worthy exchange for our sins. Not for us only. Come on. Not for the believers. That's what John is saying. But also for the sin of the whole world. The unbeliever, God loves him too. And how do you know God loves him too? He died for him. The greatest show of God's love is not money. That's natural. It will pass away. It's not even good health. It's not anything that can be seen with time. The greatest show of God's love is that blood-stained cross. Is that blood-stained cross. Is that bloodstained cross? I'm going to delve into my next point next week, but give me Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Gigi, we are going to 48, so flow with me. Guys, are you ready? Please pay attention here. He said, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, but I say unto you, please, quick one. Who said an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth?
Moses.
He said, you have heard it say, but I am saying to you now, an eye for an eye, a tooth for I say to you now, go back. Give me 39. Thank you. That ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other one also. Let that sink in first. Go foot on the other one. Next verse. 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law, if they use lying to come to you, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now, first of all, this is figurative. Jesus did not mean if they are really beating you, open yourself to be beaten. You will go and see Jesus before time. What he's basically saying is don't respond violence with violence. Next verse. He said, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Go 2 miles with him. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, and thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Next verse. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Please, TC, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Come on, I want us to read this verse as carefully as possible and together. One, two, go. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. If this verse is true, it means we shouldn't pray for our enemies to die. We shouldn't pray for our enemies to die. Come on, are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
We shouldn't pray for our enemies to die. Because he said, love your... Most of those prayers are rooted in fear. Fear. But this world is wicked. Don't play. It's wicked. Heard a man of God say, someone came into his office to ask him about church growth. So most likely a pastor too. And shook him with a charm. I said, you will regret it. I won't curse you. But first of all, it will not work. Because power day. Charm. I'm an idol, you don't know. Charm. Let's be when you are ready, let's talk. Charm. I'm a mobile shrine. It's working. He said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. It means that those that wish you well, don't hate on them. Don't wish them bad. Don't seek to blow so they too will see that God has worked for you. Come on, are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
The word of God must influence our conduct. Our response to hate is love. Our response to evil is good. It doesn't make sense to the carnal man, but that's what the word says.
Yes, sir.
God loves your ex too.
Amen.
God loves the person that broke your heart. God loves them.
Yes.
God loves them. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them with this. See, at my very young age, I'm 17 the next year. At my very young age, if I tell you that you believe me now, see my face. At my very young age, I've been heartbroken. No, it comes with the office. Don't pity me. Fast story. I say suit covers many things. I've been very heartbroken. But do you know what? You will wish them well and love them and bless them. Now, in your case, I may make an exception. I'm joking. Give me verse 45. He said that ye may be what? That you may be what? Sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God is good to all men. God is good to sinners too. God is kind to sinners too. It means that we too should be the same. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
And Jesus was not stammering or stuttering when he said this. He meant what he said. Next verse. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? If you don't love your haters, you don't have a reward before God. What reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? It means that the believer must show love to those that don't deserve it because God does the same. Do not even the tax collectors, unbelievers, love only those who love them. What makes you different? Next verse. He said, if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even tax collectors do the same, huh? He said, therefore, be you shall be what? KJV says, be ye perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The word perfect in context says, walk in love. Simple. It does not mean be sinless. The context of the perfect here is walk in what? Love. Be perfect. Now, when we read verses like this in Matthew 5, you know, when he says, Moses said, or you read that it was said, but I say, what do you mean by we should not pray for our enemies to die? Please, are you listening to me, guys?
Yes,
some of you feel like your mind has wandered. Are you guys here?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean by we should not pray for our enemies to die? This is the consistent voice throughout scriptures, and I will show you why. Now, give me Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21. Romans 12, 17 to 21. Now, why did Moses allow those things? But Jesus is now coming to say something else. First of all, the Bible says in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, it said, God in time past spoke unto the fathers by the prophet, has in this last day spoken unto us by his son. So, the prophets were spoken to in diverse ways and diverse manners, but God has spoken unto us in these last days using his son. So the prophets had their own, because, I mean, a proverb was used in Israel, but God used the prophets to correct it. That let this proverb, not Ezekiel 18, let this proverb not be used again in Israel, that the children have eaten sour, the fathers have eaten sour grape, and the children teeth are on earth. Things, revelation through scriptures was progressive. But then we now come and we see Jesus say, Moses said this. Listen, some things were allowed for a dispensation. TC, are you here? Some things were allowed for a dispensation. The same way if you kill bulls and goats now, it's weird. But for a dispensation, it was what? Allowed. But now it's weird. It's the same way for a dispensation, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth was allowed. But now you are to love your enemies. That's why you cannot pick any dangerous prayer point against your enemies from the new covenant.
Yes, sir.
Are you here?
You
can't. So if Jesus said, Moses said, or it was said to you, of course, Moses said, but I say, it doesn't matter who you want to quote. We will just respond back. If you bring it from David, oh Lord, vengeance upon my enemy, we'll say, David said, but Jesus said. Look at this. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of what? Oh man. Next verse. He said, for it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with what? All men. Next verse. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Uh-huh. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. 21. Do not overcome evil with evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. What exactly does this verse mean? Let's look at the text that Paul was quoting. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. Deuteronomy 32, 35. TC, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Not your neighbor and say, are you still with him? Then answer. So this is where Paul was quoting from. He said, vengeance is mine and recompense. Vengeance is mine. Who is the mine? There. It means vengeance belongs to the Lord. Vengeance is mine and recompense. And this, their foot shall slip in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand and things to come hasty upon them. It means what God was saying in this context is allow them to do their evil. Very soon, their evil will catch up on them. That's exactly what Paul was saying in Romans. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Repay evil with good. Don't overcome evil with evil. Rather, overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Why is... So it means that in doing that, you are heaping coals of fire on the person's head, right? It's the same thing he said there. Vengeance is the Lord. If people continue in evil, very soon, God's judgment will catch them in that evil. And why is vengeance for the Lord? He said, give place to vengeance. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I've seen this thing. Now, don't do this because you want to see vengeance upon people. Just do it because it's not your place to avenge. But the times I've seen God fight, is when I didn't fight. I didn't say anything. At this God, he's just. Leave it. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to give stories because I don't want to scare you. Amen. So look at what he says. Vengeance is his. Why? Because the Bible talks about the wrath of God. It says the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. But you cannot separate the wrath of God from his righteousness. Because the wrath of God works his righteousness. So we will not pray for witches to die. We pray for them to be saved. Because if they die, they are going to hell. God is not glorified in that. Let me corroborate that with scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, from verse 3 to 9. And again, do you know why you won't pray for them to die? Because God loves them. Why should you love your enemies? It's because God loves your enemies. It's an uncomfortable truth, but the person that scammed you, God loves. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith, please look at the screen, because what I'm saying is important. Because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God. It means that so in them resisting persecution or taking in persecution is just. It's a manifest evidence of God's righteous judgment. How? So that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Huh? Since it is a righteous thing for with God to repay tribulation to those who trouble you. It is God that repays, not you. Please, are you here?
Yes,
it is God that repays, not you. Look at this. It's a righteous thing for God to repay tribulation to them that trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest with us. The same God who judges is the same God who will give you rest. Some of you are zoning out. Are you here?
Yes.
The same God who troubles or who judges the unjust is the same God who will give you rest. And in them persecuting you, God is being justified in judging. If that's what he means by the manifest token of righteousness. He said, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Look at this verse 7. What this verse 7 simply means is this. When God will recompense to the wicked. You know when we say it is a righteous thing to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, begin to pray against your enemies. This is the context of the verse. It is a righteous thing to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and it is him that will give rest. When will he do it? When Jesus Christ is revealed. It's not a prayer point. Some of you don't like this. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter. What I'm saying is, you are to love your enemies. All those prayers of your enemies to die, some assault 7 times, let leprosy come upon them. Make no mistake, this God judges. Oh, yes. There are times I've ministered in the spirit and I'm seeing judgment in the air. And I'm like, ah! It's the Lord that is running it. Make no mistake. How can you mix his love and his judgment? Because he is love, he must be just. Because he is love, he must judge. Because he is love, he must be jealous. He must guide. Matthew 7:11. Gigi. Matthew 7:11. Look at this. He said, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Look at this. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God loves me. God is good towards me. The ultimate goodness he showed was on the cross. The Bible says in Romans 8:32, if he freely gave us his son, how much more will he with him freely give us all things? See, if he could give his son, there is nothing that is worth more than the son. Come on, let me say that again. If he gave me his son, there is nothing that is worth more than the son. And because there is nothing that is worth more than the son, I can go in prayer. I can go in prayer. I can go in prayer. There's something I wrote here. I said there's something I like to call the invisible hand of God. Like I said, in your salvation, in your career, anything, everybody has seen how God's hand just led you from time to time. You were led, but you did not know. Some doors were just closed while many other doors opened, and you had no choice but to take this one. And all those complicated steps led you to where you are today. It is the providence of God at work. It is the invisible hand. That is a show of what is called his what? Love. So listen, even when things are going wrong in my life, this God loves me. This God is alive. His hand is still working something out. So when we sing, even when I don't see it, you are working. It's true. Listen, the love of God is not based on circumstances. It's revelational. I have seen that he is loving forever on the cross. I see nothing else but the fact that he's loving. Another, the same account we read in Matthew 5, it says, he is kind to the wicked and the unthankful. Are you here? He is kind to the wicked and the unthankful. So God is kind to even the just and the unjust, the wicked and the unthankful. How much more you who is his son? He is kind. He is kind. Say he is kind.
He is kind.
And then the Bible now says in Romans, you know, Romans 8, 38, 39, he said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall death, sword, peril, famine, what shall separate us? What will separate us? God loves you. It is his choice. You love strawberry. Strawberry did nothing to make you love it. You just love strawberry. Did nothing. Now, what does this simply mean? As I round up, what does this mean? 2 things. Number one, consecration. Listen, because God loves me, there's a way I carry myself. See, people must know you are seeing somebody. People must know you are in love with somebody. Are you with me?
Yes,
uh-huh. People must know you are, and I'm not saying be obnoxious about it, rub it in their face. That's not the point. People must know you are in love with someone. If you are in a relationship, your relationship, I believe relationships should be private, not secret. Do you get what I'm saying? I believe they should be private. Don't put all your love online. When you now break up, you want to delete the account. Right? You've been dating 3 months. You have joint account. Okay. Okay. I will just say you are still single until you are married. Even engagement end. How much more what you are doing? The rough play you are playing. Let people know you are seeing somebody. People must know that you are in love with somebody. See, when people say, I don't really like church, I'll just stay at home and stream. You don't really love God. And our love is usually a response to his love for us. And I'll teach more on that next week. Listen, if I see what he has done for me, people, you know, I've heard a lot of people say even things like, I don't really share church flyers. I don't really share reels that really bless me. But you share skits. We're quiet now. This God thing is not really for me. I don't really like too many people. But in every other thing in your life, you have community around that thing. It's not true. It's not just important to you. Let people know that you are in love with somebody and somebody is in love with you. People must know. Somebody lived with you 3 days. They don't know you are a believer. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. There was no time in the 3 days you said, the person didn't hear you pray, or you told the person, please allow me pray. Or the person didn't see you read your Bible. Something is wrong. Please, TC, are you with me?
Yes,
this is what I said at the beginning. It must count for something. Let them know you are in love with somebody. Let them know somebody is in love with you. The first implication of that love is God loves all men. But why do some men still go to hell? Because some people have not accepted this love on the cross. But is the love still potent over them? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Number two is identity. Ladies and gentlemen, you walk in that consciousness. I am worth more than many sparrows. I am worth more than the birds of the field. It's Jesus that said it. God loves me. So there is a way I carry myself. Can I tell you something? You should know about the love of God so much. Toxic relationships should not be in your life. I was telling Favor, you know, not this Favor, Favor Igwe, you know, she's probably watching. Favor and I were bantering about things and we're just talking about toxic relationships. I don't know if you are there. I'm loved at home. I'm loved in church. You are treating me like this. Like I said, the invisible hand of God. Many times a lot of people stay in toxic relationships because they are like, where will the next one come from? God is not stranded. God is not stranded. If you love me, you will put out. No. No. Identity, 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 identity. I am situated in the love of God. Therefore, there is a way I carry myself. There is a way I see I don't see myself from my failings, my shortcomings, my weaknesses. I see myself from the lens called his love. Come on, TC, are you here?
Yes, sir.
I see myself from the lens called his love. I am worth more than many sparrows. Anything that I have to lose for his name's sake was not worth it in the beginning. Was not worth. Listen, in serving Jesus, you will lose many things. If nobody has told you, let me tell you now. In serving Jesus, you will lose many things, but he loves me more than those things. God loves me so much more. In fact, some things that the Lord is keeping from you is because he loves you. He loves you more than the money he wants to give you. He loves you more than, listen, and that's why we must trust the love of God. We must be able to see the invisible hand of God in things. Some things that did not work out, it is okay. I may not know the back end, but God loves me. There is a God that is still at work. There is a God that is still at work. There are many things I may not have the full picture of, but it's okay. Am I talking to myself? But technically I am too. That consecration is core, and that consecration must stem from a place of identity. Because I know he loves me, there's a way I carry myself. Because I know he loves me, there are things I will not do. Because I know he loves me, there are places I will not be caught dead. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Christianity is not old fashioned. Holy living is not old fashioned. Oh, yes. It's not. It's not. A prayer life is not things our mothers have. It's not things that, when I see the enormity of what God wants to do with my life, I can't but pray. I can't but pray. When I see the fact that I will have children in this wicked world, I will pray. I will pray. I will pray. But before all those other things, I will even go to the place of prayer, because the one who always has my time, the one who always has my audience, I will go and stand before him. I don't even need to be a man of God in the place of prayer. I can just sit and cry. Tears can talk. He will hear me. You must find yourself from the love of God. TC, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You must find yourself from the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I trust you were blessed by the teaching of God's word. Nelson Behagwan Ministries is a mandate that seeks to see men saved, trained, and sent. For more ministry content, visit us at t.me/Nelson Behagwan. And for contact details, follow on Instagram at Nelson Behagwan. God bless you.